The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Verse 1, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 1, chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant, stupid, unaware. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of activities or spirituals or energizers, but it is the same God who works all in all. And finally, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of everyone. All. What does all mean in the Greek? Father, we thank you for this lesson and we ask God that you teach us. Lord, this morning it's not going to be one of these wonderful, topical kind of really cool and neat messages. God, this is going to be a classroom today. This is going to be a teaching, Lord, verse by verse, seven verses of, Lord, what you meant, what you are meaning, what Paul has written in the original language. And so, God, help us to stay awake. Help us to be focused, God. We pray that you, God, would speak to our hearts concerning not to be ignorant about these things, to be smart about them, to be knowledgeable about them. And so help us to do that, God. Help us to stay awake. Help us to be alert. And Father, we thank you for it. And God, I thank you for every one of these that made it in here today. I pray safety for all going home. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Wow. What's up with Pastor Ben? Is this classroom? Is this college? Well, sort of speak, yes. Yes. The title of my message is Don't Be Ignorant, It's Supernaturally Natural. Don't be ignorant, it's supernaturally natural. Have you ever, the Spirit, have you ever seen people that completely deny the Spirit of God working in and through us in the areas of maybe motivational gifts we find in Romans 12, or maybe those pastoral gifts, that the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4? Or even the ones that we see today here in our text in chapter 12 and chapter 14, the spirituals, or the ooh, I call it, the ooh, you know, speaking in tongues. Oh, by the way, Paul says speaking in tongues is the beast gift. So if you want to speak in tongues and be the big dog, you know, go ahead. That's the beast gifts, you see. And so, what am I saying? What I'm saying is that this area of Scripture has never been taught right that I know of. I've heard some teachings, and I'll just come out and say it. Calvary's, Grace Chapels, there's others. James Vernon McGee, there's a couple others that I've heard teach. We're in Wiersbe about this, about 12 and 14. Of course, the love chapter is awesome, 13, right? Why do you think God did that anyway? Why do you think he put the love chapter right between 12 and 14? Because he knew we'd all be fighting about it. And he'd say, okay, oh, time out. Time out, Baptist. Time out, Pentecostals. You know, let's love one another. I know this is a tough barrier for you guys. And over the years and years and years, some churches have completely taken those 12 and 14 and told them out of the Bible and said, oh, that doesn't, that's not us today. That's been, That went away when the canon came in, the Bible. That just kind of went away. Why did God keep it in there? And then, of course, some of our Pentecostal brothers, they look at that and they really don't want to really take it word for word and take it in order. They just go, hey, let's throw the gasoline on the fire and get with the program. Let's build all kinds of locomotives and run right through buildings. You mean you ain't got the ghost? No, what is the ghost? Some even go to the point where they teach that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Now that's, of course, the ultra charismatic Pentecostal denomination. But you see, you guys know, you understand. Now it's coming a little bit closer. I talked to a Baptist brother the other day, and he believes in the same thing. You know, they're researching it. They're teaching it. They're looking at it in the original language. Because if you don't look at this in the original language, you read through it, it's like Revelation. You go, huh? What's going on? I don't even want to try that stuff. And you know, many of you are operating in the gifts and don't even know it. Charles Stanley, several years ago, said, I've been baptized by the Holy Spirit and operating the gifts for years, and I didn't even know it. I think many of you are in the same boat, in the same area. Because it's supernaturally natural. God never intended for us to run around the church in the General Assembly like a chicken with our head cut off. You've heard that, right? I mean, come on. You're from the South. And you know, causing a lot of disorder. He never intended that. But he did intend for us to take part of these spirituals that we see in chapter 12 and 14. But he wants us to do it in an orderly form that will glorify him and what? And what? Yes, and edify the church, his body. These gifts that we're going to talk about, by the way, is for his body. It's for us to edify one another. That's why it just really ticks me off when I see a TV evangelist on TV strutting around, you know, like a big dog, doing whatever he's doing and wanting, you know, accolades to come his way, not to mention your checkbook. It just really, because it's, how does that edify our body? Well, Chapter 12, 1 through 7 is the introduction. No, we will not be getting into any of the spirituals today, as we know them. That'll be next week. But there is an introduction. Now, in verse 1, we read it. I see two observations. Number one, if you're taking notes, in italics is the word gifts here. Check it out. Whenever you see... You see in your word when you read it, you see italicized words. Well, that never should be there. There was some great mind somewhere that decided, maybe I can help you all understand this Bible. Duh. How about the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit will help us understand it. Why do you need italicized words? Well, if you see here, gifts is italicized. In the original manuscripts, it does not appear in the original manuscripts or the Greek. In fact, Paul actually says in the original language, now concerning pneumatikos, it's a Greek word, pneumatikos. Now concerning pneumatikos, instead of now concerning gifts. Anyone besides Marty would like to tell me what that word means? Pneumatikos? Spirituals. Thank you. Spirituals. So it's spirituals. Now concerning spirituals, that word pneumatikos. Spirituals. Of course spirituals, referring to the entire realm of the manuscripts and manifestations of the Spirit. Now, isn't that interesting? It is interesting. However, in Romans 12, when Paul is explaining the motivation gifts or motivations of the Spirit. He uses gifts, not spirituals. So, folks, there is a clear distinction between these spirituals in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 and the motivational gifts in Romans 12. And we'll talk about that a little later. So know that. There's another portion talking about gifts. We see 12, the motivational gifts. We'll get to that, and we'll read about that in a minute. And then, there, of course, there's they call it the gifts here, the spirituals in 12. And then in Ephesians 4, Jesus himself speaks about the five ministries. Many, some Pentecostals and some Baptists as well, call it the fivefold ministry. And so Jesus speaks about the gifts of the fivefold ministry as well. Did you know that you guys, the layman, all of you have access to every single ministry? Every single one. And we'll talk about that in a bit. Now, the second observation, if you're taking notes, is I would not have you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be ignorant. Did you know Paul said that, the very same thing? And then again, you go to hermeneutics, it's a principle kind of thing that you look in the Bible. And one of the things is if someone says something in the Bible once and then it repeats itself, better take a look at it. It's very important. When Jesus said repeated himself, it's like, look, listen up. This is important. Hey, did your mom or dad ever do that? Absolutely, right? Yeah. And so Paul says four things about don't be ignorant in the New Testament. He voices this same desire concerning a few things. Number one, we had this message maybe a month ago. Number one, Old Testament typology in 1 Corinthians 10. That's back when we were talking about Abraham and Moses and all that, and how that typology referred to us as well. You can read the chapter. Very explanatory. Number two, if you're taking notes, the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4. He says, don't be ignorant about this. Number three, the tactics of Satan in 2 Corinthians 3. Don't be ignorant about the tactics of Satan. And number four, the future of Israel in Romans 11. And there they are. So these are the areas about which Paul wanted believers to be knowledgeable, understanding them. But wait, gang. Guess what? Guess what? Have you seen it? Have you looked at it? Have you observed it? These are the very areas and very ones about which believers throughout history have had the most questions. Right? I mean, come on. Check it out. These are the same areas that God's people so differ that they actually disfellowship themselves with one another. What's up with that? So the Apostle Paul comes on the scene and he's writing these epistles and he's saying, listen, guys, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. You need to really study this. This is exactly what this is about. And so we don't study it, our churches. We don't really examine it and go to the original language and see exactly what, because after all, hey, don't be ignorant about this because it's going to mess you up. And it's going to mess you up not only with one another, but with the enemy as well. And so what do we fight about? We fight about the rapture. When's the rapture happening? Is there a rapture? Post-rapture, pre-rapture, mid-rapture, mid-trib, all the other tribs? Satan. Is Satan real? What's his tactics? Is he really, can Satan possess us? Is Satan in everything? I know he's in cherry pie. Satan. Yeah, the demon of calories, right? You've seen different people tell you that don't go to a movie because, man, Satan's in it. The demons are in it. And our Lord tells Paul, write about what's up, the tactics of Satan, the future of Israel. Oh, we're Israel now. We're Israel. Replacement theology, it's called. Oh, Israel's gone. They're never to be anymore. No. Paul says, don't be ignorant. Let's go to Romans and see what God says about Israel. They're still his people. We are a different people. I don't want to be Israel. I want to be the bride of Christ. I don't know about you guys. I'd rather be a bride than some first wife that tried to divorce God. Amen? Bride, ex-wife. Come on, guys. Which one would you have? Bride, right? Right, ladies? Of course. But there are people that are confused about the future of Israel. And so we argue about these things, and Paul goes, don't be ignorant. And so as we truck through the Bible, and at times have topicals, but trucking through the Bible, when we get to those places that says, don't be ignorant, we're just going to sit down for a while. We're just going to camp out to make sure that we're not ignorant. When you speak and talk to other believers and you explain to them exactly what's going on with these don't be ignorant passages, they're going to look at you and go, wow, did you go to Bible college? You tell them, yeah. Calvary Chapel of the Sand Hills. Got a great Bible college. They meet every Sunday morning. Because we need to not be ignorant. Amen? Amen? Yeah, we need to know. And so, concerning verses 2 and 3, a rumor circulated in Paul's day that said, if you pray in the Spirit, you can actually unknowingly curse Jesus. Really? And such a rumor is also heard even to this day. A church I grew up in said the same thing. That if you spoke in tongues, you could be cursing Jesus. You could have a demon in you. And so you hear it even today. Paul makes it clear that it's impossible for a person praying in the Spirit to say Jesus is cursed. Impossible! Why is that? Well, you see, gang, if you're really a believer, you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, died for our sins, rose again, God incarnate, then now, this is, the whole thing is to know this, that ability to say those words and mean your heart comes from the Holy Spirit. Not from us, not from our intellect. It comes from the Holy Spirit. If you really believe those things, how can you curse God? It's impossible. The Spirit, the ability to believe those things, those truths that comes from us, that dwells, comes from the Holy Spirit that dwells within us, within you. Period. So how cool is that? That we can say, look, I can't curse God, because you know why? I'm possessed by him. You're possessed? I'm possessed by the Holy Ghost. I got a ghost in me. You know, it's like, what? Then you tell your Baptist friends, the Holy Spirit has indwelled within me. The same. You have the Holy Spirit. How can you curse Jesus? You can't. Now, verse 4 is where the word gifts we see here in verse 4. Let's read it. Then are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, the word, of course, here is charisma. Appears in the original text here for gifts, charisma. I find it not coincidental that charisma is a form of the root word charis. Or get this, in English, grace. Yeah, I like that. I got charisma. Oh, you mean you got grace? Yeah, I got grace, man. I got grace. Grace. That which is undeserved and unearned. So whether it be spirituals, speaking in tongues, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, healing, whatever, or whether it be the motivational gifts of hospitality, teaching, and we'll get to those in a minute. They all are by God's grace. Undeserved and unearned. Know that. Don't get prideful. Man, when you come, you're just like, wow, man, I got a gift here. Don't get prideful. Don't say, yeah, I got a gift, man. You watch. You watch this gift. That's why many, not all, but many people, they tell you right now, oh, I got the gift of tongues, man. I'm speaking tongues. And as soon as they get into a church setting and someone ignites that, those people that can speak in tongues, they get right with the program. They get right with the program. I wish we would have more. Well, Paul says that he wished everyone prophesy, teach God's word, and speak in tongues. And also, we're all the interpreters. All these people speaking in tongues, who's interpreting all that stuff? Even if I was an interpreter, I couldn't interpret all those tongues if they're all going off at the same time. We're going to get to the order of those probably in a couple of weeks. But know this, unlike some, it's absolutely none of you, but all of Him. It all comes from Him, none of you. Amen? Do you catch that? It's all about Him. It's nothing's about you. Mentality that we have sometimes. Unlike some, again, TV evangelists. I tell you, and then some of them are pretty good. But I'll tell you, man, some of them, I heard one the other day that just said, talking to the elderly and said, if you don't have any money, get your credit cards out. I almost broke my TV. My wife won't let me watch those anymore. It just really ticks me off. Well, again, please notice with me, verses 4, 5, and 6, 4 says different gifts. Verse 5, if you're tracking with me, says different ministries. And verse 6 says different activities. Now, we're going to look at this ahead. I'll tell you this ahead. And know this, the Spirit is all over the different gifts. Jesus is all over the different ministries. And the Father is all over different activities. There in verse 6. So verse 4, 5, and 6. Again, very insightful, the Greek word translated operations or activities is energema. What does that mean? Anyone? Energize! So what God says there in verse 6, He says, and there are diversities of energizing ministries or energizing activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. It means energizing. Energizing! I was really weird about people speaking in tongues and the word of wisdom, all that, until my wife and I visited a church, I think it was in New York, the Calvary Chapel. And so it was an afterglow. Went to an afterglow. And which means it was like a small group, Wednesday night, something like that. And the pastor said, if anyone has any gifts or anything that they let the God speak to them about anything, and he opened it up, and there were some words of wisdom, word of knowledge, and finally this one guy stands up, and he just speaks a simple tongue. Sits down, one. And we waited, very quiet, and another person then interpreted that tongue. You know the sensation I got? Man, it's like, yeah, that's what it's supposed to be. That was awesome, man. That was neat. That was edifying. That was so cool. And what the interpretation was, whenever someone speaks in tongues, by the way, and we'll learn this later, their interpretation should always be praising God. If you get someone who says, thus saith the Lord, you flock of little faith. No, sorry. That's not an interpretation to a tongue. Tongue is always supposed to be a praise to God. We'll get to that in chapter 14. And it was so neat. It was so cool. I was really scared, you know. I was like, honey, let's get out of here. But it was so neat. It's really, really fulfilling. It was energizing to me. Energema, energizing. So, verse 4, we see different gifts but the same Spirit. Referenced in Romans 12, 4 through 13. In verse 5, we see different ministries but the same Lord Jesus. Referenced in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12. And in verse 6, we see different, operations or different activities, or energizers, but the same God. And we just read that in 1 Corinthians 12. So right now, let's go to, if you got your Bibles, turn to Romans 12, 4 through 13. Romans. And you know what? It's on the board. You don't have to turn there. But I'll read it from my word. Ready? Amen? For as we have members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. But hey, God get that. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Well, I get that too. Having then gifts, there's that word gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us. See, I got a different gift according to the grace given to me. Remember, they're only by grace. And you guys have different gifts according to the grace that God's given you. Let us use them in prophecy. Let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. Verse 8, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty, he who leads with, he who gives. You have a gift of giving. Some people have, I wish every one of you had the gift of giving. many of us have the gift of giving, but we have no gifts. We have no money, right? But some of us, we do have a little money, and God kind of gives us that ability to make money and to be frugal, and then we have some extra money, and we have that gift of giving, and not only giving, monetarily, but in other ways as well. Exhortation, and he who gives with liberty, give with liberty. He who leads with diligence, it's the rulers or the leaders of the church. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be kindly affectionate to one another. Did you hear that? Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Man, that is just slam, right? We need to have that written on our walls at home. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. There's that word spirit. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints. Give to hospitality, bless those who persecute you, bless those who do not curse. So, those are the gifts of motivation, motivational gifts. And look, the Lord gives those motivational gifts to us so we can operate. Just think, if no one had those gifts, Marty wouldn't be singing, I wouldn't be teaching, you guys wouldn't be doing all the serving that you do all the time. Those are motivational gifts that God has placed in us. And he uses those. I don't care if you're changing diapers. You're just as important as a pulpit guy. You got gifts that God has given you, and you're operating in those gifts, motivational gifts, to motivate each of us to do other things. You have visitors come in. They see all these people loving one another, motivating one another, everything else. And then they go, "Ooh, man, I want to get involved with this church." Everyone's motivating. That's a motivational gift that the Spirit of God gives us. And inserts into us, given by the Spirit. In essence, the gifts are given by the Spirit. The ministries, though, are open by Jesus. They're open by the Son of God. Let's look at that. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And I will begin with 10. If you're there, give me a hearty amen. Absolutely. It's there. It starts at 11. But you need to have your Bibles because 10 says this, He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Now, who is that guy? Anyone? Let me read it again. What's that? Jesus. Lisa, you're answering all my questions. Come on, guys. You're making me look bad. Okay? Who is the guy we just read about? Thank you, Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Jesus! You need to get a little Pentecostal here. Everybody woke up. Okay, yeah, it's him who the word's talking about. And he says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? Well, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Stop. Hey, so Jesus is the one that gives the ministries. They open the door by Christ. Christ opens the door to ministries. And finally then, 1 Corinthians 12, we just read it, the spirituals or the operations or activities are then energized by the Father. Amen? You catch that now, right? You're seeing that. There's three different like giftings or energizings or operations, and each of the Trinity is responsible for one of them. Each one. Are you catching what I'm saying? Are you smelling what I'm cooking here? Come on, guys. This is so, to me, when I started studying this years ago, it was just mind-opening. It's like I was getting down to the nitty-gritty of why and what and who. Who was the author of the motivational gifts? Who's the author of the fivefold ministry? And how do they all work together? It's something that we need to know, something we need to go deep in. We said we wanted to go deeper this year in understanding and experiencing God in a deeper way. Well, this is one way to experience them deeper. Yes, I know it's classroomy, scuba diving a bit, but it's so needed, especially nowadays. And we don't want to be ignorant, do we? Do we? We want to gnaw on some steak occasionally. Cotton candy gets old. Amen? Yeah, it sure does. Now, it's my personal, and you come back to 1 Corinthians. It's my personal conviction that these three verses, 4, 5, and 6, that we just looked at, unlock the mystery of chapter 12. Why? Well, you see, gang, although the word of wisdom, tongues, interpretations, healings, miracles, and faith are often referred to as the gifts of the Spirit, I believe it's crystal clear after studying the original language, the gifts of the Spirit are technically found in only one place. We just read it. Romans 12, 4 through 13. It says it a couple of times. The gifts give those motivational, those great things that they have, that man, the Methodist and Baptist, they got that down. I mean, they got programs. I envy. But we do too for a little small church. And God gives us those motivational gifts to motivate one another. But I believe, technically, called the gifts of the Spirit. Those are the gifts of the Spirit. Because this is the only time in the original wording for gifts is actually used. Duh? Get it? Amen? You get that, right? And so when you look at those motivational gifts, it's the only time that the gifts is actually used, the word gifts. In fact, it is in Romans 12 that we see the gifts of prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, hospitality, leading, ruling, and mercy. Folks, the word is clear that every brother and sister born of God has one or more of these motivational gifts seen in Romans 12. Did you know that? Oh, I don't have any gifts. I can't do anything. Are you calling God a liar? Because he says if you're born of him, he's placed one or more of those gifts in you to use to edify one another. Motivation. And then as we recognize that gift, Jesus opens up a ministry for us. for that gift to be used, thus serving the body of Christ. By the way, this goes against the opinion of men and man that says, what do you, church, have for me? I don't want to serve. I just want to get fill in the blank. I want to get tickled. It's a consumer mentality of saints. I think it was derived by the enemy. Me. It's all about me. I tell you, the past 2-3 days I've been stuck in the house, it really came out. It's all about me. The couch or the chair I'm sitting in, it's like a magnet. It's like a dark hole. Help! Honey, would you get this? Hey, Lee. You know, when I want her to do something, I call her Lee. When I don't, it's Lisa. Hey, Lee, would you get my soft drink? It's all about me, and that's the mentality of our church, which I believe was derived from hell. So as we discuss the word ministry, it's used in Ephesians 4, wherein we see 5 ministries listed. They're linked and opened by Jesus himself. We saw that. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Now one might say, well, Pastor Ben, wait a minute. I'm none of those. I'm not any of those I just talked about. Well, not so. Let me explain how all this works. It plays out like this, gang. Think with me. Suppose someone with the motivational gifts of mercy, Romans 12, says to the brother or sister who's going through all kinds of struggles and balancing your checkbook, paying your bills, and working out a budget. He or she says, let me meet with you. I see that you're struggling. You've told me you're struggling. Let me meet with you one day a month, and I want to share with you what I have learned in this area. Now, folks, at that point, the person with the gift of mercy, Romans 12, motivational gift, would then be fulfilling the role of pastor in Ephesians 4 that we see. And he or she shepherds people to financial stability. Are you getting this? Do you see how this works? Look, just because I'm sitting up here and I'm a pastor. No, you guys, in those areas, you can be pastors too, when you're teachers and all kinds of things. You see, gang, the ministries are supernaturally natural when you're operating like you should in them. Another example, when an older lady helps a younger woman learn how to navigate marriage, childbearing, and parenting based upon insights she's found in the Word all these years. She is actually functioning as a teacher. And although she's not teaching predestination, numerology, hermeneutics, or eschatology, in God's eyes, can I say in God's eyes, she's employing the gift of teaching in the very same degree as one who stands in the pulpit. Do you get that now? You see, this whole thing about exclusiveness. Yes, God has called me to be the senior pastor here, but every one of you guys can operate in those giftings that in Romans 12, and then use those giftings in Romans 12, cross right over into the fivefold ministry, and operate as pastors and teachers and whatever. Evangelists. When you're out talking to somebody and they're just, and you start telling them about Christ and what Christ did in your life, you know you're an evangelist? Did you know you're a Billy Graham? He ain't got nothing on you because you're sharing with them what God has done in your life. It's evangelism. It works like that. And that's what I'd call a bam shakalaka. You know, I'm telling you. You know, some churches or some people would think, oh, no, you can't be that, or you can't do this over here. This isn't for me. Yes, it is. Every bit of this word is for us. Because we can operate in every single position, every single statute. And so we have established that those who exercise their Romans 12 gifts, referred there in 1 Corinthians 12:4, will find a ministry open to them, according to 1 Corinthians 12:5 and Ephesians 4. Either as an apostle, by the way, small a, you're not the big dog apostle, the little dog. You're the B apostle, okay? And then, and then, by the way, apostle means this. One that's sent out into some area or situation to share the reality of Jesus Christ. I know people who operate in that gift all the time. As a prophet, maybe. One who shares words of edification, exhortation, and comfort at precisely the right time, exactly the right way. I bet a lot of you moms have got that trait. Sharing the right words at the right time. As an evangelist, as I said before, one who simply shares the Lord wherever he goes and does some personal testimony. As a pastor, one who comes alongside people to partner with them in their spiritual growth. Or as a teacher, one who shares truth with others. You see, that's it, guys. Supernaturally natural. You see, gang, you have to get this. It's imperative you get this, or we just will go out and be very impotent to the world for Christ. You got to get this. You don't think of yourself as just, well, I just come to church and I serve a little bit and I count the money and I do diapers. No. It's much, much more than that. The ministry of the Spirit is supernaturally natural. When we get away, check this out, from the titles and organizations and church doctrine and names. I didn't say biblical doctrine, the church doctrine. We get away from all that. Are you this? Are you that? Are you apostle this? Are you deacon that? Are you bishop such and such? No, I'm just a child of God and operating all those. Because I love Jesus, and every day I'm out there telling people, and I'm doing stuff for them. It's the heart, man. I got deacons here at the church, there's deacons and elders here at the church and pastors. And every one of those guys that I've laid hands on, that we've laid hands on, I see in them these statues. I see them operating in all kinds of different positions, man. Pastors, they're counseling people and they're loving people and they see something I don't see. And they come and they just do it, or they come and say, hey, I think we should do this over here. I'd love to mention names, but they all leave the church because that's not a good thing to do. But every one of these guys I got, everyone, I've seen them do this. I've seen their hearts. They operate in all these giftings and all these positions. You see, gang, again, it's important to get this stuff. It's important to get it. The ministry of the Spirit is supernatural, naturally. We've got to get away from all these titles, and this is what you're supposed to do. You just operate however God wants you to, and He will give you what you need to operate in those, as long as you're loving people, and you're teaching people, and you're doing it for Christ and the body of Christ. So Romans 12 tells us gifts are given by the Spirit. Ephesians 4, ministries are opened by the Son of God. And then here in 1 Corinthians 12, everything is energized by the Father. Doesn't that make sense? That just makes sense to me. When I see that, it's just like, oh, okay, I get it. The Spirit's this given these motivational gifts. And Jesus opens the ministries, working with His Spirit, and then the Father energizes everything. Now, in addition to my motivational gifts, our motivational gifts in Romans 12, and, of course, the opportunity for ministry, Ephesians 4, that Jesus does, the motivational gifts in Romans 12 that the Spirit's responsible for, God wants to energize our spirituals So this is what Paul will address in the remaining of the chapter before us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 in our time together next week. He'll address those specifically. Paul will also next week talk about discerning operations or the power to know that you know, which include the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and discerning spirits. And then he will also, a little further on, talk about the dynamic operations or the power to do things, which includes faith, miracles, gifts of healing. And he will talk about then, a little bit later, the declaring operations. Of course, we know that would be the power to speak in different things, like prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. And so that's how we're going to roll in this chapter. So we'll know exactly what's going on. And then, you know what? We do the love thing, and then we get into 14, and Paul goes, okay, now that you got all these gifts, you know what they're used for, you know what the correct teaching of it, now let's do rules and regulations. Let's do some order. Let's have some order. And then he shows us how to use the gifts. So stay tuned for next week. And so, what should we say besides I'm on time about our lesson? Who clapped? You're in trouble. Is that a word of wisdom or what? Yeah. Before Paul and, of course, us get into the spirituals, Paul says in the last verse, what did he say here? He says, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I love that. He says, be reminded. Whether it be motivational, yes, spirituals, profits all. In other words, it's not about you at all. It's about others. It's about others. And so if you find yourself in the next month or two and you find yourself that God has given you a gift, remember this. Thank Him for it. Remember, it's undeserved, unearned, and use it to help someone else. You know, be practical. Come on, guys. Gang, if you see someone out here and he's got a fat tar, right, don't go over to him and start speaking in tongues. What good is that? Help him change his tire! Amen? Father, we thank you for this lesson and this introduction, Lord, to this insightful chapter.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.